Our scripture text this afternoon is found in the book of Philippians. Please turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Philippians 4:19, a promise for the new year. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. One time I was confronted with a sudden, large financial need. And I began to be anxious and to fret about that need. And then the Lord reminded me once again of this text in Philippians 4:19. Maybe some of you listening to me this afternoon are experiencing anxiety over certain needs that you have, which you don't see how in the world can be supplied. Maybe you have business problems, or maybe you are just living from hand to mouth, not knowing really where your next meal is coming from. Maybe you are fearful of what this new year holds for you. Loved ones will die. Taxes will go up. Healthcare costs will continue to skyrocket. How will you survive, you are wondering. My friend, if you are a Christian, this verse at which we're looking this afternoon is good news for you. This verse says that God has promised to take care of you and to meet your needs in this coming new year. When the Apostle Paul wrote this verse, he was being held in a dungeon in Rome. That's very significant to remember that as the background of this text. He was in danger of starving, or at least of malnutrition and sickness, but the church at Philippi had taken up a collection and had sent it to him to take care of his needs. Paul, in his letter to the church at Philippi, and especially in our text in chapter 4 and verse 19, is responding to the generosity of those Philippian Christians. In this verse, Paul tells us four things having to do with the supply of our needs as we face this new year, or any need that may arise. First, Paul speaks in this verse of a great necessity when he uses the words, all your need. But my God shall supply all your need, he says. Now we all will have needs, many needs, from January 1st through December 31st of 2016. We have two kinds of need in our lives. We all have temporal needs. Needs having to do with time and space and the body. We need food and clothing and shelter and heat and transportation and a job and money. We will have needs relating to family trials and sickness, and trouble in our work, and trouble in our business. The other kind of needs that we all have is spiritual needs. And these needs must be met. Our temporal needs are very small compared with our spiritual needs. Now, we usually see it the other way around, but that's not the right way to see it. Our temporal needs are very small compared to our spiritual needs. We need continual pardon for the sins that we commit each day. We need strength for the daily battle that we have with sin. We need the means for escaping the temptations that come to us along the way. We need comfort and encouragement in all the disappointments and disillusionments in life. We need patience and hope and strength in times of suffering. We need comfort and companionship when God's providence has left us alone in this world. We need daily food for our souls. We need instruction in the things of God. We need spirits that are teachable, that can receive instruction. We need help in overcoming the pride that so often besets us and makes us want to be big shots in the church and to lord it over others. We need help in raising our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord in this wicked, ungodly age in which we live. We need reminding again and again of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that justifies us before God. Oh, how great our needs are. Notice how many of our needs God promises to supply here. But my God shall supply all your need, the verse says. The emphasis is on the word all. What a huge order. Think about it. All your need. What a great space to be filled. All your need. God promises here and throughout His Word to supply all the needs of all His elect in all the earth in all the ages. As Peter says in 2 Peter 1:3, God supplies us with all that pertains to life and godliness. How many of our needs does God promise to supply here? All your needs. And this means that He will stop supplying our needs only when we have no more needs. We also need to remember that it is our needs that God promises to supply, and not our whims and not our fancies. God promises to fulfill our needs, not to gratify our desires. Having food and raiment, or in other words, having the necessities, let us be therewith content, Paul says in 2 Timothy 6:8. I'm sure you've found by experience, if you've been a Christian very long, that God always gives us more than we need, but He only promises to give us what we need. Next, Paul tells us in this verse about a great helper. He told us about a great necessity, now about a great helper. When he says, "But my God shall supply all your need." In Philippians 4, Paul is thanking the church at Philippi for their love offering while he was in prison in Rome. In our text, in verse 19, he is saying to them, "You have supplied my need, and God will supply yours." God shall supply all your need, Paul says. Now, whose God is it that Paul says shall supply all the needs of God's people? My God, Paul says. It is Paul's God. The same God that he served. The same God whose gospel he preached. The same God that supplied his needs will supply yours, he says. Paul's God was the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And this God is my God. My God, is He yours today? What a blessing to know that Paul's God is my God. He is as much my God if I am the poorest, most insignificant, weakest Christian as it would be if I were an apostle like Paul. Each of us who is saved can say that He is my God because He has elected us and called us and justified us. Let me ask you this afternoon, is Paul's God your God? It is this great helper, my God, who shall supply all your need. In his ministry for Christ, Paul had suffered every possible kind of need. And so he understood need and how God supplies it. In our text, Paul is saying to the Philippian Christians and to all of God's people, "My God has taken care of me. Here in this prison, I cannot make tents to earn my living as I have done up until now. But my God still supplies all of my need, and He will also supply yours," he says. The promise is that my God shall supply all your need. What a blessing it is to look back over God's Word and see how He has always supplied the needs of His people. Israel was a nation of 3 to 6 million poor slaves. But Pharaoh and the Egyptians let them leave and supplied them with wealth and possessions when they left. This, of course, was God powerfully supplying the needs of His people. How else would Israel ever have gotten the things they needed? As the children of Israel journeyed through the wilderness with no food, God supplied them with manna and quail to eat for every day. When God sent a great drought and famine in Israel, Elijah the prophet hid from Ahab and Jezebel by the brook Kereth. 1 Kings 17:6 says that the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. In 2 Kings 4, verses 1 through 7, we find the story of a poor widow who could not pay her deceased husband's debts. The creditor was coming to sell her sons into slavery in order to pay her debt. All this poor widow had left in her house was a small pot of oil. The prophet Elisha told this woman to borrow all the vessels that she could find. And when she had done so and had placed them all inside of her house, Elisha told her to pour from the one pot of oil that she had into all those empty vessels. And that woman poured and poured and poured. She poured until the first vessel was full, and then she poured until the second was full, and then the third, and so on, until all the vessels she had were full. And Elisha then told her to sell enough of the oil to pay her debts off, and then she and her sons could live on the rest. Who provided for her needs? This is the way God takes care of us today. All of our needs are just so many empty vessels to be filled. As a matter of fact, the word supply in our text means literally to fill full. But my God shall fill full your every need, Paul says. According to the promise of this text, if you belong to God, your pot of oil will never run dry. There are many promises throughout God's Word to the same effect. In Luke 24:24, the Lord Jesus tells us that God feeds the ravens, and that we are more important and of more value than they are, so surely He will supply our needs. Turn to Luke 12:24, and we'll just look up several scriptures here. Luke 12:24. Luke 12:24 tells us that God feeds the ravens, and that we are of more value than they are, so surely He will supply our needs. Luke 12:24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Turn next to Psalm 37 and verse 3. Psalm 37 and verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily, or truly, or certainly, thou shalt be fed. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says that God is the one who comforteth us in all our tribulation. In Psalm 23:1, the child of God says, I shall not want, because the Lord is my shepherd, and He will therefore supply all my needs. In Bible times, God often set aside the laws of nature and worked miracles in order to supply the needs of His people. But not always did He use miracles. The case of the Egyptians sending the children of Israel away with wealth and possessions is one very striking case. Another is the case of a man named Obadiah in 1 Kings 18 who saved 100 of God's preachers from Jezebel's persecution by hiding them in a cave and feeding them during the drought. In this instance, God once again prepared a table before His people in the presence of His enemies, of their enemies. Today, in our day, God uses various means to supply the needs of His people, but He no longer sets aside the laws of nature in doing so. Some people today believe that God has to work miracles to supply their needs, just like He oftentimes did in the Bible. But listen, my friends, God's method of supplying His people's needs in Bible times was actually primitive compared to how He works today. You think about it. It was primitive to work miracles compared to what He does today. Today, God produces the same results without setting aside the laws of nature. Without working miracles, God works great wonders of loving care today. God's providence is far greater than His miraculous works in Bible times. During the ministry of Charles Spurgeon in London, there was a man named George Mueller. I hope you can read his story sometimes. George Mueller operated in an orphanage. Mueller was a man who completely trusted the Lord to supply the needs of his orphanage. He preached and raised money and did everything that he could to finance this expensive work. But on more than one occasion, Mueller had nothing to give his orphans to eat. On these occasions, and it's thrilling to read this in his book, he would have all the children come in and sit down around the dining table. When it was time to eat, they didn't have anything to eat, but he'd have them all come in and sit down around the table, and he would pray, "Our Father, we thank You for the food that You are about to provide." And each time a wagon load of food would pull up to the dining hall, almost at the moment that thanks was being offered and the children would be fed. Now, that wasn't a miracle. That was God providentially working. God so worked His providence that the needs of those children were supplied. And this method of supplying the needs of those orphans was much more amazing than it would have been had God set aside the laws of nature and instantly created bread in that dining hall. I mean, where did that wagon load of food come from? Who thought of it? How did they get it all together? I mean, it's just amazing to think about that. One time when I was a pastor out in the state of Wyoming, we were living on a shoestring, so to speak. You ever done that? We were living on a shoestring. One day, an unsaved man in that community had bagged two elk, which was the limit for local hunters at that time. And for some reason, that man gave to me and to my family a side of elk, which he had killed and had butchered and packaged. You know what? We ate that elk all winter. And it took a lot of the strain off of our budget. But behind it all was God who was supplying all of our needs. God supplies all our needs, spiritual as well as temporal. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, God promises to always provide, young people, God promises to always provide some way of escaping the temptations that come our way. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. I believe every teenager ought to memorize this verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13. As a matter of fact, I believe we did memorize it on Wednesday night some time ago. 1 Corinthians 10:13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." It is God who promises to supply all of our need. God is our great helper. A third thing Paul tells us about in this text is a great supply, a great necessity, a great helper, and now a great supply. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. God had always supplied Paul's needs and had just done so again in this very difficult situation in which he found himself. And so Paul knew something about God's riches. Paul says to the members of the church at Philippi here, "You supplied all of my needs according to your poverty. God shall supply all your needs according to His riches." According to His riches in glory speaks of great supply. The great resources of God that enable Him to keep His promise to supply all our needs. Listen, God is rich. God is rich. God has unlimited resources. As another preacher has said, God's riches are an ocean without a bottom or a shore. Because He created all things, God owns all things. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, says Psalm 24:1. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and all the beasts of the forest are His, including the elk that He provided for my family back there in Wyoming. I love that verse, "He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills." About 5 years ago, we were coming back from out west. We came through western Kansas out there, and there was a place where you could look out over that prairie and see for forever, it looked like. And it was just covered with black, cattle? Black Angus cattle. And I thought of that verse, "He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills." That was just a few hills. There must have been thousands of cattle out there. God's rich. God is rich in the same way in the spiritual realm. Romans 2:4 speaks of the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. Ephesians 2:7 speaks of the exceeding riches of God's grace. Ephesians 2:4 says God is rich in mercy. This is what the hymn writer had in mind when he wrote of streams of mercy never ceasing that call for songs of loudest praise. God is able to supply all our need because He is rich. His resources are unlimited. And God doesn't let His riches lie idle. You know, there's a lot of people who have millions in the bank and they never do anything with it. They just let it lie idle because they're proud of having it. They've got a security. I've got the money to do anything I want. God doesn't let His riches lie idle. He distributes His riches. He puts them to use in supplying the needs of His people. Lastly, Paul tells us in this text about what Spurgeon calls a great channel. A great channel. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Jesus Christ is the great channel through which all the blessings of God flow to men. By Christ, God made the worlds. By Christ, God sustains the creation. And by Christ, He supplies the needs of His children. By Christ Jesus, or through Him as our mediator, all things come to God's people. What does it mean? What does this mean to you and to me today? It means that you and I must go to Christ to have our needs supplied. God gives no spiritual blessings to anyone except through His Son, Jesus Christ, beginning with salvation itself. Apart from Jesus Christ, there is no hope for mercy to anyone. Christ is the one mediator between God and men. Jesus Christ is the way. And no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Do you know Jesus Christ? Would you come to God through Jesus Christ for mercy today? God will save you
if you will.
The reason we Christians end our prayers in Jesus' name is to acknowledge the fact that the channel through which we receive all blessings from God is Jesus Christ. You know, every once in a while I hear somebody pray in Thy name. Instead of praying in Thy name, we ought to pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Because He's the channel through which all of God's blessings come to us. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We all probably know this verse to greater or lesser degrees. And yet how often we forget what this verse says. Isn't that so? How often God has to teach us the lesson of this promise again. We have often become anxious and fretful over our needs rather than resting with confidence in the promise that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Looking back at the year of 2015, did you ever think that the end had come for you in some area of need? Did you think that you might not make it financially in your family or physically? Are you still financially afloat today? Is your family still together today? Are you still alive today? God has kept us and guided us through all of our griefs and failures and disappointments and disillusionments. God supplied all of our needs during the past year, didn't He? I'll tell you, we've been pretty close financially. But we're here today. We're still afloat. We're still meeting. God has supplied all of our needs. What about the new year of 2016? You may be called upon during this year, and some of us no doubt will, to face great physical suffering. Are you going to be able to face it and endure it to the glory of God? Or are you going to say, I can't take it anymore. Just pull the plug on me now. God is rich beyond our wildest imaginations. Can He supply your need in times of great physical sufferings? He has promised many times to supply our need in times of suffering. Listen to these promises. I will not leave you comfortless. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. We do not know what lies ahead for us in 2016. But we do know that God has promised to supply our every need during this year. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let us claim this promise as we set out to face this new year of 2016. Let us pray. Our Father, we're grateful for this wonderful, glorious, encouraging, comforting promise that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We pray for those today who do not know the channel through which this promise and these blessings come. We pray that they would repent of sin and trust in Christ today and be saved. Pray for all of us who are of little faith to trust in You in the difficulties and trials and tribulations of life, realizing, believing, having confidence in the fact that You shall supply all of our needs according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We praise Your name for the way You've brought us to this point today. And You promised to carry us on until we go to be with You in the end. We pray these things in Christ Jesus' holy name and for His sake. Amen. This is Pastor Lawrence Justice. If you are looking for a church that believes in and stands for God's Word in this day of wickedness, worldliness, and apostasy, I strongly urge you to attend the services of our church. Victory Baptist Church in Kansas City, Missouri, stands for the gospel of Jesus Christ, with emphasis on the doctrines of God's grace, the New Testament church, and biblical missions with reverent worship and Christ-centered preaching. Such churches are not easy to find in these days of religious entertainment and endless activities. If you are concerned about traditional biblical worship and serious doctrinal and expository preaching, I want to invite you to consider moving to the Kansas City, Missouri area and joining us. When you are traveling on business or vacation, why not plan to be present in our services on Sundays and Wednesday evenings? Or why not make a special trip just to visit us? It's easy to contact us for information about our church. Call us on the phone at 816-761-7184. Email us at lajustice99@yahoo.com. Visit our church website at www.victorybaptist.us, or just drop in on Sundays and Wednesdays at 9601 Blue Ridge Boulevard in Kansas City, Missouri, 64134.